You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast, but before we get started, I wanted to tell you about an exciting opportunity for you and the leaders you know this fall, the Pipeline Conference. Our team, the Lifeway Leadership Team, is hosting Pipeline on October 13 in Nashville. And it's a conference unlike others you've probably been to because it's a training conference, an event that will show you and your church leadership team how to launch a leadership pipeline. You'll hear from speakers such as Tom Rayner, Eric Geiger, Kerry Newhoff, and Paul Tripp. We'll have plenary sessions interspersed with shorter, practical TED-style talks. We'll have Q&As with the speakers to clarify and apply what was said, and we'll also offer a second day built around coaching and implementation that will have limited seating. And we really want you to join us. Go to myleadershippipeline.com to learn more and to register. Pricing is affordable, and we're offering an early bird discount through the end of July, so you want to move quickly. Again, go to myleadershippipeline.com for more information and to register. We look forward to seeing you there. Enjoy the podcast. Welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I am your host, Barnabas Piper, here in a hotel room in St. Louis, Missouri, at a convention on an empty free Saturday. So we are recording podcasts with Todd Adkins and Daniel M.
What's up?
So voices.
I thought I'd have to create some sort of intro.
So yours is
so you're going to go to the old Budweiser commercial? Who's that?
What's up?
We apologize to our listeners.
We are in St. Louis.
That's true. So Daniel was inspired by the fact that there's Anheuser-Busch stuff on everything. Every building.
It's sponsors.
And not only do we
not
see,
sponsor this podcast.
And right. Do we see an arch outside, but we actually see an arch, a little towel in the bathroom at the hotel that they
formed
into the shape.
Yeah, it's like a pseudo origami washcloth folding.
Yes.
St. Louis loves their beer and loves their arch. And I'm going to stop there because I'm not sure they have much else going for them.
No offense. The Cardinals are good.
Not this year. They're struggling.
But they have a legacy. They're not the legacy team, right? I mean, I'm really into sports, as everyone
knows. That's true.
There's some people who are probably...
They're going to stop right now. Just offended.
Okay, don't stop.
The Cardinals.
But it's okay. They already downloaded. We got what we wanted. All right, well, today we are going to be talking about a concept that will sound kind of high-level, fuzzy when we introduce it, but by the time we get to the end, I think you will see where the rubber meets the road on this. And it's the idea of actual values and aspirational values in an organization. So that all sounds like a chapter or four chapters in a Patrick Lencioni book. That's because it is. But let's just jump into our questions. And I think as we process through this, I think those concepts, actual versus aspirational, that fuzziness will all kind of clear up. So when we talk about values, organizations usually reflect their values in their vision statements. So most visions or value statements for organizations are pretty generic. You read them, there's a lot of sort of gobbledygook businessese.
That's because far too many get their vision statement and their values off a copy machine.
Yeah.
And we will be trustworthy.
Yeah,
excellent.
They use a lot of adjectives that are immeasurable.
This looks good.
Accountable.
So the question is,
they Google core values.
Right.
And they find some.
And then they rephrase somebody else's. It's sort of, there's sort of like a, what is the game where you just drop in like adjective, verb, noun? Is that Mad Libs?
It's like
business Mad Libs. So why is this that they're so generic besides stealing them off of a copy machine or Google? And then what good do those kind of vision or value statements actually do for an organization?
Not much. I mean, when you're thinking
next
about
<question.
laughs> aspirational versus actual, you've got things like, I mean, you know, like the opening for the Winter Olympics when Canada hosts it, that was very aspirational.
Why was it aspirational?
Because they were talking about how great Canada was, and it's just America's hat.
Dude.
So okay. Wow. We've offended St. Louis.
Starting right now, it's only going to be Barnabas and Todd on this podcast. See you later.
Canada's going on strike.
Socialists. No, okay. That was a little offside. All right. But no, when we think about aspirational, actual, it's really aspirational is, you know, what's up on the wall. Actual is what happens in the hall. I mean, it is what actually happens in your organization.
And so the problem with these vision statements is that they are purely aspirational, and they're, aside from the fact that most of them are written very vaguely. And so when somebody says we want to do excellent work,
that's great. That's a good thing to aspire to, but it's very hard to tell if you've actually done it. But it also isn't, it's just a, that is not fleshed out in the daily life of the work. It is just a purely aspirational value. It's what we aspire to be, but we're not really sure what that thing is. So it's a fuzzy thing.
Well, actual is what your organization believes at its deepest core. Aspirational is what they want to be, but are not yet.
Yeah. And a lot of this fills, you know, into your values, into your vision, into your mission. Let me read an organization's mission statement and, you know, let's see if it's actual or aspirational. All right. I'm going to leave the name of the company out. And
dude, is this like a guessing game?
All right. Yes, it is. This organization provides its customers quality products and the expertise required for making informed buying choices. We provide our products and services with a dedication to the highest degree of integrity and quality of customer satisfaction, developing long-term professional relationships with employees that develop pride, creating a stable work environment and company spirit. Guess who that is?
Be anybody.
Dunder Mifflin Paper Company.
The Office.
I'm looking at his.
The funny thing is, I was like, Walmart? Target? Yes,
exactly. And that's the thing about values, vision, mission statements. I mean, all of them is, unless you're actually looking, right? And, you know, that word actual, unless you're actually looking at your organization as to even creating a starting point of, okay, even though this is not what we want to post on the wall,
right?
You know, let's actually have that starting point. Okay, this is what it actually is.
Well, so Collins and Built to Last would say you need. It's okay to have a couple aspirational. Absolutely, yes,
definitely. Well, you have to aspire to something, mm-hmm. and you have to have a target you haven't hit yet. That's the idea of growth and improvement. You need to constantly be moving towards something that is better than where you are. And you are aspiring to that, but I think the aspirational needs to be clearer than it often is. I mean, how do you measure trustworthy? How do you measure those kinds of things? I mean, it's not just being measurable, but it is like people have to have a clear sense of what those words mean and how they play out. Let me roll in our second question because we've started to answer it, and then clear it up, I think. What is an aspirational value and what is an actual value? So we said that these vision statements are usually very aspirational and do not reflect the actual. But again, those are just terms right now. So what is aspirational? What is actual?
Yeah, I mean, aspirational values are the characteristics that you want to have. Right. The things that you believe.
Your future self.
Yeah.
Your envisioned self.
Yeah, the values that you think, if played out, if lived out, it's going to create the company that I've always wanted or the one that I always want to work in, right? So those are hopes, dreams, you know, future forward states.
Are they things you can arrive at?
No.
Well, yeah, I think so. If there's a strategy to get there, if there's intentionality to move towards it.
Well, I mean, so let's take a lot of the adjectives that get dropped in there. You get trustworthy, you get quality, you get, mm-hmm. like, those are things that you can do those things and be those things, but is there an arrival point?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that those are really aspirational.
Okay, what are those?
Those are.
It could be for some companies.
Those are. It's a cop out. Yeah. Is what it is.
So the if we're really delineating this, I mean, one of you guys said this. Pardon me for not crediting you correctly. You said it 3 minutes ago. Aspirational values are what you would like to be, but you are not. Actual values are the things that play out as the priorities in the organization on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. So in a church, an aspirational value would be make disciples or reach our community or something like that, if you're a church that doesn't do
that.
Yeah,
that's an aspirational.
And an actual value might be keep our members happy.
Yeah, so aspirational values are not the same as wishful thinking values, right? Aspirational values are ones that you say, okay, I want us to be that way, and I'm now going to measure that. I feel like there's a lot of times these conversations happen, you know, your leadership team goes on a retreat.
That's only if you have a realistic perspective, though, because so many organizations have aspirational values, and because they have them up on the wall, they think that is who we are. Mm-hmm. And so what you're describing, I think, is an organization run by leaders who realize that's where we're trying to get. That's not where we are. Whereas I think a lot of people put together a vision statement and go, that's our identity. It's like if I decide to call myself tall, dark, and handsome, but I'm not those things, then like just because I took on
You're
the
one of those things.
Well, I'm like the not, other. That's right. I am 6'2", and we'll just leave it at that.
You're 6'2"?
I am 6'2". Oh. Although when I spike my hair up, I'm like 6'3½".
That's how I get to 6 feet.
That's right. But just because I took on that label and I decided that I was going to be that, mm-hmm, doesn't mean I am that. I mean, that's not a great analogy, but I feel like that's the way a lot of organizations treat aspirational values. We painted it in calligraphy on our wall, and so therefore we are that thing.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel like that those values need to be more like wishful thinking values, and if you differentiate values from not even just aspirational and accidental, but let's say you say wishful thinking values. And Lencioni talks about accidental values, uh-huh, right? So you can kind of spread the spectrum out a little bit more. I mean, I feel like aspirational values are the values that an organization wants to achieve. And then they are then putting them into their monthly reports or their yearly job evaluations and saying, hey, these are some values that we know we need to get to in a few years. So we're actually going to put measures to them. Right. So that they become actual values. But most organizations don't do that. And they just say, hey, here's some great values, which I think are more wishful thinking than aspirational.
I look at values like these are the hooks that we're going to hang our cultural stuff on.
Totally.
Because ultimately what you're talking about with values is your culture. Mm-hmm. It really is. So it really... Going back to what we've kind of already said before, but this ensures alignment with who people are and what type of organization they want to work for. And so those things are, when we talk about actual and aspirational, actual isn't always neither one of these things are positive or negative.
That's part of what I was trying to get at.
Understanding where you are. So one of the best things that you could ever do would give yourself, your organization, a cultural values audit. Because what a cultural values audit does is it helps you know who the people individually, what their personal values are, but also what values they have for the company or that what they think the company's values are.
Okay, let me rearrange a couple of our questions and throw this in here right now, because that was we had something on that just a little bit further down. And so we'll ask this as our third question, and that is how can you do a cultural values audit? How can you determine if what your values are and how they are aligned?
Well, I think Lencioni has one. The deepest dive I've ever seen is an author by the last name of Barrett. And I can't think of what his first name is, but it's like, you know, the seven layers of consciousness or something like that. Mm-hmm. It is. That's what it is. Seven layers of consciousness, because it's really unpacking what do you value? What do you deep down at your core? What do you personally value, mm-hmm, and what do you value for your organization?
Yeah. Another way to do the audit is by first listing every single value you have, you know, the ones that are on your statement, the ones that you want to have, the ones that you think you have, the one, just spit it all up on a piece of paper, right? And then create four columns. And what you can do, and this is based on Lencioni's differentiation of the different
values. What book is that out of? Just so we can.
It's Patrick Lencioni, The Advantage.
His best book.
Yes, and it's the one. Is it good because there's no fable? There's no story at the beginning.
Probably. I mean,
I do enjoy these stories though.
See,
I don't.
See, I like the fable piece of his books. It's funny, in his fables, I read the fable and I skip the second half of the book.
Okay.
In this book, though, I loved it because it synthesizes all of his fable books into all, you know, so you've got politics, silos, and turf wars. You've got five dysfunctions of a team. You've got, what is it, getting naked on being vulnerable and honest. You've got, I mean, he's got a whole bunch of these books.
Yeah.
And it takes all of those concepts and weaves it into an organizational health as the thing that sets apart great organizations.
Yeah, as a side note, I mean, I've recently on Audible downloaded his newest book, The Team Player.
Well, I haven't seen that one.
And then it just came out. And then when I read his books, I'll usually skim through the fable and just get to the points.
Yep.
But as I'm now listening to it, I'm actually enjoying the fable a lot more because the narrator is telling it like a story.
Gives it a little more life.
Exactly. Huh? So back to the audit. In that book, he talks about core values, aspirational values, accidental values, and permission to play values. And then what you can do is basically list out all your values, do four columns, create core, aspirational, accidental, and permission to play, and begin throwing each of your values that you currently have into each of those categories. So just to really quickly give you a differentiation of what those are, right? Core values are the heart of your identity as an organization. These are things that don't change. They are things that already exist, right? So these are things that everyone down the hall, whether it's on the wall or not down the hall, everyone is living out. I mean, those are the core values. Aspirational, as we said, they're wishful. You know, that they're the ones that you wish to have, that you are moving more towards. Permission to play values are the ones that are minimum behavioral org standards that are required for an organization, right? So these are like, if you're in banking, right, the permission to play value should be integrity, yeah. Right? It should be. Like, you should not be able to become a banker.
And basic math skills.
Yes. You should not even get a job as a teller if you don't know your times tables.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, those are skills, but the values of integrity and, I mean, those are, and, you know, in ministry, you know, they'd be humility, right? Trustworthiness. I mean, these are some of the permission, like, you can't even just come and play.
Just go to the fruits of the spirit.
Yeah.
Or,
exactly.
We've got several lists for those.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where it's okay to have some values like the honesty.
Yeah.
You know, because those are permission to play.
What we've done, I know at least one time I was in a situation where, I walked a team through this and we took those four areas. People did advance work. So everybody wrote out what they thought they were. And then we all got in a room for an hour, 2 hours, and kind of walked through and put them up on the board and then put them under the sections. And that was a great way to see. That's not a full, you know, cultural values assessment by any way, stretch, or form. That is, you're not going to get to the level that you would if you did a full audit, but that's a good, it's still a really helpful audit, a really helpful thing for a team to process through. Because so many different people are, you know, contributing and learning from each other. They see what each other values, and ultimately, hopefully, you can get to a core list.
What are really practical questions? I mean, even the categories that you're describing are still ones that you're like, well, I don't. You have to kind of have a sense of values before you can begin to chop them up and say, okay, this is this bucket, this is this bucket. What are some real practical questions? Say a church staff or a leadership team, managerial team could sit down and say, okay, if we're trying to determine what our values are, aspirational values are much easier to determine. It's much easier to say we would like to be these things. Yeah. As a company, we would like to reflect these traits, these values. Actual values, much fuzzier because oftentimes they fly under the, especially if values aren't aligned, and we'll talk about alignment in a minute. But what are some really practical questions that somebody could ask to say, what are the values we reflect right now?
Yeah, it would be asking cultural questions, right? So what does it look like? Who fits into our culture, right? Okay. Who when they're working here, like, who do we see if a newcomer comes? What if they come? Let's say, for example, you're in the suburbs, you're a church, you're middle class, right? So, for example, if that's the case, and your staff are middle class, suburban.
Saddleback or, Sam.
You know, yeah, Saddleback Sam, you know, maybe good looking. If you're in Southern California, you know, you have.
There really is a Saddleback Sam. You know this, right?
Yeah, it was Saddleback came up with this is basically a cross section of their demographic of who they want to reach and how they want to reach them.
Yeah, so I mean, by doing that, you're able to figure out, okay, what are the values? And just before we continue on, let me just label that last one.
Uh-huh.
The last one is accidental values in those four. And those are the ones that are like, hey, you didn't even think about this. You didn't even plan for this, but you were looking around and you're like, wait a second, everyone's an introvert.
Yeah.
Right. All our staff are introverts. Wait, so I didn't want that to happen, but that's how it happened. You know, it happened. So that would be an accidental value. Yeah.
So, well, let's, I think that at least offers some clarity to this. Yeah. Hopefully it does. Our next question is, and this will continue to paint a picture here. What are the effects on an organization when actual values don't reflect aspirational values, or when values are out of whack?
Cynicism.
Okay, so give an example of why that is.
Well, because if one of your values is people matter to God and us, but
people don't matter to us.
Yes, then that's bad. And people, you know, the staff start to go, hey.
It's an eye roll every time the phrase gets said.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an eye roll. Or the staff feels like people matter to God and us unless you're on staff.
Yeah. Another example would be, and this is just more on the, you know, a little bit less spiritual, but we value change or we value innovation. But every employee knows that if you suggest a new way of doing things, it's just going to get shelved. You have actual values, which are maintain the status quo, don't rock the boat. And you have aspirational values, which are we value innovation. Now that, and all of a sudden that does create cynicism because people are going, well, what does innovation look like if we never, ever change anything and we don't, and we're not comfortable with that?
Yeah. The problem in this entire conversation, which many organizations and churches face, is the fact that so much of leadership is unintentional.
Yeah.
Right. So they're just saying, hey, I'm going to lead the way that I've been led, right? I'm going to teach the way that I've been taught. I'm just going to lead this and begin working and we'll see what happens. So you let individuals influence what you want the organizational's values to be. You let others influence the vision and the direction of it because you're not intentional.
Yeah.
What we're really talking about here is culture. For lack of a better term.
And what is that famous quote by Peter Drucker? Culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Yeah. And that is a Peter Drucker quote. So anybody you've seen own that on Twitter, they're lying.
Yes.
Yes.
Very,
very bad.
But I think this is about culture, but culture is even fuzzier and more nebulous than values.
Because no, values make up culture.
Right.
Values.
No.
Accidental values. Culture does make accidental values. Because that's where
accidental values make. No, just kidding. But no. Let me get back to on the culture piece. I mean, part of your main role as a leader is culture curation or cultivation, mm-hmm. because there are going to be unhealthy things that you need to take out of your culture and healthy things that you want to put into your culture. Right. So it's not just something that can hang on a wall, or you don't want to limit yourself too much either by, you know, zeroing in on something. So they need to be broad enough. They need to be broad enough, but not so broad that they don't mean anything.
And I think following up on cynicism as an effect of values being out of whack is the leaders lose respect. Mm-hmm. Because
credibility.
Yeah, exactly. Because the moment they get up there and say, hey, we're going to try, or we're going to do, or this is who we are, nobody takes that seriously anymore when they have seen perpetually the leader's words go left and every day the company goes right.
Yes.
You know, every day the company just keeps marching inexorably in the exact same direction it was before, or it marches nowhere. And the leader's talking about, we're going to charge into the future. And you're like, we are stuck so far in the past. And so the leader becomes somebody who everybody just says, he's either out of touch with reality. He's just saying, he's a politician. He's just saying what he thinks people want to hear. And all of a sudden, nobody trusts that at all.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, what happens as well, you end up hiring people that don't fit your culture. Either they fit your
You hire culture. Aspirational employees?
Yeah.
Basically?
A bird just like...
If it's intentional.
Into the window.
I mean, if you know what your core ones are, your actual values are, and where you want to move towards the organization...
Absolutely.
Then you can hire individuals that embody the aspirational...
How you you change culture is hiring from outside. How you further embed culture is... hiring inside.
Let me ask our fifth question then, because I think we're kind of moving from what are the problems to what are the solutions. And that is the fifth question, is what are steps leaders can take to align values that are out of whack?
So you can hire people from, I'm just kidding.
So, I mean,
rewind.
So the first thing that you can do, I mean, obviously you want to identify the people in your organization that mm-hmm. embody what you want your actual values to be, or what you want your aspirational values to yeah. be, if your actual is not what you want them to be. Right. So identify those people, recruit them as champions, recruit, you know, allow, have those conversations and be like, okay, are these values? I mean, we love the work that you're doing. We love how you're embodying. We love who you are. Where do you get these values from? Right. And yeah. and have conversations around that. Was it all purely from the outside? And if it was from the outside and you brought them in before you came into the organization, where did you learn them? Right. Where did you learn them from? And trying to get to the bottom of that to learn, not just theoretically, hey, we want to be these five values. Let's think, you know, in an ivory tower, what's going to create them? Actually ask the people who embody them. Yeah. And that'll be a great starting point.
Well, you want to, I mean, again, it's just like when we talk about culture curation, you want to celebrate
yeah. what, that's what I was going to say,
what you see in that person and hold them up. Everybody likes to be celebrated in front of a group of people.
And I think the rest of
the group then sees, okay, this is what's important.
Yeah.
Also what you measure.
That's, so yes. you need Daniel to mentioned that earlier in terms of the annual reviews and things yeah. like that. Are you building these in and saying, okay, here's the thing we are trying to become. How are we trying to yeah, become?
You have to systematically put that yeah. in. And the other thing is you need to fire yep. people who are toxic.
Who you hire and who you fire.
Yeah. yeah. The people who are toxic, the people who are anti the values that you want, you yeah. do need to, I mean, don't just fire them.
You give them a
reason.
Chance to get on board. Yeah, exactly. And if they don't, then put them on a lifeboat and show them out to sea.
Exactly. Right. Because so have that conversation, be like, hey, we noticed this is how you behave. We noticed this. We noticed this. These are the actual values that we want our organization to,
yeah.
to embody. We're going to give you 90 days to begin making some changes.
And again, measurement helps there too, yeah. because you give real practical ways of saying, hey, here are some ways we've seen issues. Here are some ways that if, you know, it would really help if you moved this yeah. direction.
Yeah. But don't just say you need to better. Change, yeah. get better and not evaluate yeah. after, or not even, what's, don't even, don't, do not not have
here's the
a,
deal.
A
doctor,
review. Right?
A doctor doesn't say get healthier. He says your blood pressure's too high. You need to cut these foods out. You need to be a little bit more active, you know, some real practical things. And then you come back for a checkup and he says, did you cut these foods out? Were you a little bit more active? Because your blood pressure is exactly the same as it was mm-hmm. before.
Well, you have to be careful here too, because just because sometimes there might be somebody that's actually producing good work that is, you know, they're doing all the things from a job description standpoint. You have to have some of these things in there in your role profile. Otherwise you could find yourself in a really bad spot. Yeah. From a legal standpoint,
yeah,
the other piece to this as well. When you think about, go ahead.
Yeah. And I mean, that's yeah, but you're completely right. And that's why you want the values to be measured.
Yeah.
Right. So you want them to be in the job description. You want them to be in the role profile. You want them to be in the reviews so that it's not just about job performance, but values is a part of your job performance.
And if you get these things aligned strongly,
yeah.
it may be that they leave over the course of time.
Yeah. Not they self-select out, as
they
we
self-select
say.
Out. If your culture is strong enough and they don't fit, then you're gonna have people more and more self-select,
and that's better than having to fire people, because they can voluntarily go somewhere where they fit better, and it causes a whole lot less conflict and friction in the office. I think one last thing, we were talking about credibility of a leader, and so much of values, the communication of values, is a leader expressing them clearly. And so I think if values are not aligned and you're trying to move in a direction, it is really valuable for a leader to say, our values aren't aligned. Here's what we've said we want to be. Here's where we actually are. And then to say, and here's steps we're going to take to get there, so that because that does earn credibility, because it shows that the leader is in touch with what people already recognize, and it shows that there's a plan of action. And then as you measure it, people say, oh, that plan of action is actually being put into action. And I think that all of a sudden that builds credibility. You know, we've seen that at Lifeway, as we've gone from an organization that thrived in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s to one that, okay, how do we become more innovative? How do we become more things? And at no point did any of our leaders get up there and say, we are an innovative company. They said, we aspire to be. We want to find better ways to do this. We want to create better resources. Here are steps we're going to take to do that. And that helps us trust them because we can follow a plan. You can't follow a blowhard, basically. All right.
All right.
Silent nodding. I guess that means we're done. So hopefully that helped delineate this concept of actual and aspirational values, gave you some, I think, hope, practical steps. Thanks so much for listening. We always appreciate you tuning in, downloading, sharing with your friends. We love interacting with you on Twitter. We get some great feedback every week. We hear some different people who say, hey, just ran across this, which means somebody out there probably told them about it. So thank you, listeners, for doing that.
Tell more people.
Yes, please do that. If you tweet using the hashtag 5LQ, that's the one we consistently use. So whether you're quoting stuff or posing questions, Todd and I will check that periodically. We'll respond to you. And if you pose good questions, they might end up being a topic for the podcast. So keep firing those out there. Thanks so much for listening, and tune in next time.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. As you go, don't forget to visit myleadershippipeline.com to learn more about our upcoming Pipeline Conference. It will be on October 13th in Nashville, Tennessee, and early bird pricing runs through July. So move quickly to register. Again, that website is myleadershippipeline.com. We look forward to seeing you there.